they go to HomeFit or any gym app, and they scan everything inside.
And can I ask, can it only be used by people who have been vaccinated?
Yes, only
for okay. Or recovered.
Recovered. Yes.
Okay, recovered.
Test is not enough.
Test.
No test.
No test. No
recovery or vaccine.
We want to.
Do it here. Green passport. This is the green passport, and this is going to be the path of many countries. So we can go inside?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
So hello, everyone. Good morning or good evening, wherever you are in the world today, and welcome. This is Romola D from Romola D Reports, and I'm very pleased to be here today with Shai Danon, who comes to us from Israel. He is a broadcaster, a freedom activist, an alt media personality, I guess, who's known worldwide. He tells me he's interviewed all the top alt media personalities in the world, except a few. And he's been doing this for about 12 to 13 years. He is focused on bringing the truth forward. And I recently got to know Shai after a mutual friend introduced us, and I watched his recent conversation with David Icke about what's going on in Israel. And that's really going to be the subject of our conversation this morning. So welcome, Shai, and thanks so much for being here.
Sure. Thank you very much, Amola. Obviously, there's a lot going on at the moment.
Yeah.
And what people can see is that some of the bits and pieces that were implemented in Israel in the last few months are actually some governments are trying to implement it on their population in their country. Actually, it's quite funny because yesterday there were elections, the fourth elections in 2 years in Israel. And funny enough, suddenly there's no corona. I mean, the media is busy with elections and with all this gossiping, you know, yellowish gossiping media stuff. Mm-hmm. And nobody's talking about corona. Nobody's talking about vaccines. Nobody's talking about green passport. Nobody's giving fines in the streets for not wearing masks. And suddenly, I mean, maybe
that's
one or two.
Really good news.
Well, it's good news if people can use it to wake up, because what you can see is that there's no pandemic, really. I mean, if there was a pandemic, elections or any other major event in the civil life of a nation would not overcome a pandemic if it was real. But what we can see is once the agenda has been shifted a bit and now we have elections, suddenly the pandemic has been minimized by the media. At the same time, they want to minimize it because more or less, if I believe the numbers, which mostly I don't, but let's just take the numbers as they say they are, something like half of the population in Israel have been taking this genetically modifying substance into their body, and it's not a vaccine, and it's not true to call it a vaccine. So it's just these substances, genetically modifying substances, being injected into somewhere between 3 and 5 million people, I would say. And so again, setting an example to the world by following the plan that is coming out from the National Socialists in Switzerland in the World Economic Forum, being represented by Bill Gates and his mates, basically, Israel is setting an example showing once you vaccinate, let's say, most of the population, and I'll say in a second why it's most, although it's just half, but a lot of them now are children, and we get to it in a minute. But basically, once you vaccinate or you give these genetically modifying substances into half of the population or most of the population, you can actually open the economy, as if to show that the only way forward and out of this, God forbid, major crisis they made up for us is through vaccinations, and even more so if it's forced vaccinations or under a lot of sanctions and limitations.
It's coerced, right? I mean, it's not exactly forced. It's not forced exactly, but it's coerced because there's so much that hangs on it. If you don't take the vaccine, you know, you can't have your whatever they're calling it, the green certificate, immunity passport, vaccine passport, etc.
Yeah, but you people are being threatened to lose their jobs. Right. They cannot go to a hotel. They cannot travel. They cannot some places. They cannot go and eat. They cannot have a coffee. You know, I just done this morning a small show in Hebrew, like a broadcast, and I was calling it that everything is going up, like prices are going up. Okay, it's like a news, like breaking news. Prices are going up everywhere. And actually what I spoke about, it's not about money, because now people, in order for them to have a cafe, some, you know, a coffee, a cappuccino, right, or a sandwich, or to see a movie, they now paying with their body. Before, they were paying whatever, $2, $3, or €3, whatever the price is, all right? Now they have to pay still the same price and inject genetically modifying substance into their body, do a PCR test, this bullshit test that
invasive nothing, medical procedure,
show everything. And they don't notice that for the same stuff that a year ago they got only for few pounds or few euros or few dollars or few shekels, now they are paying with their body, with their liberty, with the amount of oxygen entering their body. And people don't see that way because they really believe there's a pandemic. Still, the majority of people in Israel still think there is a pandemic, and it's going, the boogeyman is going to kill them. So they will do anything just to go back to this normal, which is now being called new normal by, you know, national socialists and their allies. So basically, why I said before half the population or most of the population, because when you take away, for example, from the equation, you take away these 3 to 4 million who did, let's say, took the shots, you end up with many teenagers, many children, some communities who don't want to vaccinate. Some of them are Arab communities, Bedouin communities, Druze, although some of them do take these shots, and some religious Jews, but a lot of children which are not being are not giving these shots. Now, after some corrupt doctors with obviously a conflict of interests who are showing on TV and promoting the agenda, and they are in touch with some drug companies and vaccine makers, and obviously the health minister or the health office in Israel, they're promoting the idea of doing now the experiment. I mean, they're admitting it's an experiment.
It is an experiment.
On the children. So I think Pfizer announced that next week or next month, I'm not sure, they're going to start experimenting on children in Israel. And I'm thinking the world has gone mad of a story of a little virus.
Shai, first of all, that is a brilliant analysis. I mean, when you say that, you know, people are paying with their liberty, with their bodies, with their the limitations on the amount of oxygen they can breathe, and that is absolutely the bottom line. That is what is happening. Yeah. People have just given over their freedom, their bodily freedom, to such an extent. It is so horrifying. And the other thing that you say, that most of the people are actually really afraid. They've kind of bought the Kool-Aid, they've bought the media story. And of course, it's the same in the US and probably worldwide, because we have, you know, sort of corporate, big media, mainstream media, putting the story out day after day after day. And people will fight with you in the store or the post office or wherever you go to act like, you know, there's a deadly disease going on, when obviously there isn't. We all can see there isn't. People are not dying in the streets. And from what you and I probably know, you know, there's never been an isolated virus. This virus has not been isolated. And what's being put into this vaccine is not even the virus. It's computer-generated codes. It's synthetically manufactured substances. And as you said, it's hard to call that a vaccine. And many doctors, in fact, say don't call it a vaccine. Mm-hmm. I think Dr. David Martin, Dr. Judy Mikovits, they say it's the injection of a chemical pathogen that is designed to alter your genetic profile, your genome eventually. So, but people do not get this message. And the question becomes, to what extent, you know, to what does the reach of alternative media extend? How, what do you think in Israel? What kind of alt media presence is there? Do people watch your shows in numbers? Or, you know, what do you think?
Well, the work that I'm doing in Israel, I've been doing it for, let's say, 12 years or maybe 13 years. And obviously, I've done much more in the last, you know, in 2020, because it was a necessity, and it's what we need to do now is to deal with, really to deal with reality. I know that similar to what I do, there's maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 others who are doing similar things. Most of them have started just in the last 6 months or maybe 1 year. So they were not here before. It happened to be that because I'm in this so-called business of alternative information,
right?
For some time now, and I have interviewed many, many people from around the world, researchers and scientists and doctors and free thinkers, you know, all together from various, really, so many countries.
Terrific.
I can say that the way I see things is even quite different than the alternative news channels or YouTube channels. Or, well, not YouTube, because YouTube is crap, really. I mean, it's full of censorship. So yes, more and more people do get exposed to this sort of information. At the same time, because of this term that the CIA has coined, I think it was back in the 60s, of conspiracy theory. Yes, most people, see, it's quite funny. Israelis, they always know what's best, but they behave like sheep. So they have this, I would say, reputation of strong, bully, rude, but also clever, sharp. They don't, you can't fool them. Apparently you can. And in a quite really humiliating way. I mean, I've been saying it for many, many years, not just the corona stuff, even before, whether it's fluoridation, radiation, and all sorts of poisons.
It's happened to everybody around the world, right? I mean, every population has been kind of subjugated by these mechanisms.
Yes, it's worldwide. I mean, it's not unique only to Israel, but I'm just saying Israelis see themselves in a very... I would say quite arrogant way. But after 1 year of Pavlovic training, I think they have no ground, Israelis have no ground to be or to see themselves as very clever, because they prove themselves to be quite stupid, quite naive, quite ignorant, and quite childish. You know, to think that the government is taking liberties from you and very soon they will give it back to you. It's really, really childish. And it's like, and this isn't even without mentioning the Holocaust, Ramona. I mean,
right.
I mean, the comparison is shouting here, all right? Now, it is true to say, I mean, at the same time, it's true to say that in the last, let's say, couple of weeks, also because of the elections in Israel that just happened like yesterday, but also because they want to show, they're playing with the numbers, they want to show that these shots that they call vaccines, they want to show they work. So suddenly the numbers are going down.
Oh, I see. So are they suggesting that people are out and about and going and voting and all that because they've gotten their vaccinations?
Wow. Yes, and now they start to speak like on the MSM, that because the vaccines work, So you can lose the rope a bit, you know. You can, okay, we're okay. Let's move on. Let's see. Let's open the economy. And again, it plays into the hands of the plan of Bibi and his allies from Switzerland, from the World Economic Forum, and all these national socialists, whether they are based in Switzerland, Liechtenstein, City of London, or Rome. You know, it doesn't matter now where they sit, but it's the same allies, it's the same group of people who plan this and bring it forward and implement it in various countries. And Israel has been chosen for some reason, at least for that part.
I was going to ask, why do you think that is? Because it's, I think to some extent, it comes as a big surprise to many of us in the West that suddenly Israel has sort of taken the hard line with its own population.
No, no surprise at all, Ramola. And I can tell you that since this bullshit story started, I said, Israel is going down first. You can see me in many videos I've done. Many people...
You saw it coming, in other words. You were
yes, definitely. I'll tell you even from a different angle mm-hmm. that the story that came about in the last year, I mean, even before, but let's say in 2020, with QAnon and all this story, yeah. whether it's true or false, we don't go into it
right.
now, but basically through the QAnon movement, we could hear that Israel is being kept for till the end.
That's right, last, for revelations, know? Right?
Yes, and I said, no, Israel is going to be first because they have to take Israel down first because they want to conquer Israel. They want to take over Jerusalem and establish whatever they want to establish in Jerusalem. Now, the reason Israel is going down first because Israel has to show, look, really Israel is the Silicon Valley. All right. I mean, never mind now California and the Silicon Valley.
Thank you for spelling that out. Everybody knows there's a huge connection between, you know, Silicon Valley and Israel. But
Of course. I mean, you have Intel, you have Microsoft, you have all the Israeli startups, you know, startup nation bullshit. And all this development and all these softwares they've been and applications they've been developing to fight terrorists now are being used to fight contagious people or unverified sick people or healthy asymptomatic people. I mean, total bullshit. But now they're using the same softwares and apps that they used against terrorists with the war on terror. Now it's the war on the virus.
That's a great point. And I have been covering that a little bit from surveillance technology to biosurveillance. You know, it's the same field since the last 20 years, certainly since the Patriot Act and 9/11, etc.
Yeah.
In the US, it's become all ramped up, you know, the tech that's being used against people, ordinary people, because everybody is considered a terrorist now. Everybody's a known or suspected terrorist. And it sounds like the same thing in Israel. And now of course, they've moved from that kind of nonstop cameras and spying into every device, etc. They're also using spectrum weapons, you know, sonic weapons on certain people who are targeted, and the same thing all over the world. And now they've moved into the realm of virus surveillance. That's at the realm of your body with nanobiosensors, nanotech.
Even before the nanotech, I mean, there's a few things here. One thing, this is where the 5G and basically
right.
the IoT is coming into play with the
right,
track and
right,
trace,
right.
with a cheap nanotech or digital tattoos of this mad
BCI AI. They're headed toward that for everybody, brain computer
yeah.
interfaces.
Yeah. So, I mean, even before that, just with an antenna outside your home, I can see through the wall. I can see you, I can take your temperature, I know what you're saying, what you're doing in every room of the house.
Millimeter wave.
Without nanotech. Yeah. So add nanotech to the mix and add other softwares and other technologies, and what you have is a total control grid.
And this is military equipment, right? That has now been unleashed on the entire populace.
A lot of it is military equipment, of course, or military development, not necessarily equipment. It can be manufactured in a civilian factory in China. It doesn't matter, but
sure.
development,
China, of course. Yeah,
the all the planning and development is basically most of it comes from the military, but there's nothing new. I mean, this has been going on for many, many years, not just nothing new for now. Now, what's
so
funny
is now in the private sector, the private sector can just manufacture it like any regular commercial operation that's doing this, that's engaged.
Well,
in this
is this is the startups story altogether. I mean, yes, there's some apps for civilian use, but some apps are purely coming from the military into civilian use. All right. And most of the money for developing whatever apps and the hardware and software is actually coming from army, military, whatever, research. So you have Israel and Intel and Microsoft and companies from Israel planning all this shift into a digital dictatorship or medical digital dictatorship.
That's really interesting. Planning saying it's been happening in Israel. This planning's been happening in Israel.
The planning has been happening in various places, but at the moment, not just in Israel. I mean, mind you, it's happening in China.
Yeah. It's the decade.
China, yeah. Estonia, Rhode Island. I mean, if you look up the work of Alison McDowell, she's been exposing a lot of this, how this social credit really is coming into play through the what is called stakeholders capitalism or social impact. This is really, really important.
Social impact investing, where everybody is seen as somebody dependent on the welfare state who has to be scrutinized from above. You know,
it's even more than that, Ramola. I mean, if you hug your grandparents, you're not supposed to, some coins or tokens are being taken away from you at some point.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's a credit system.
For example,
system.
I mean...
The, what is it called? The dragonfly or whatever? The social credit system in China?
I'm not sure, but I'm just an example to...
Right.
This is where we are heading if we are not going to stop it.
Yeah.
At the moment, if people took this genetically modifying shot into their body, the chances that they will... change their point of view and go against something they have done, so the chance of them putting themselves in a cognitive dissonance is very low. That's why whoever is taking this genetically modifying shit is actually in a very, very tricky situation.
Very
especially
vulnerable.
If he or she wakes up. I mean... Because they kind of, they're stuck now. And look, if I take the ADE symptoms or syndrome, if I take the potassium, the chloride, potassium chloride that may cause problem, if I take, again, the nanotech that may cause problems, it's really, really, really problematic, the situation. On top of that, look, my assumption is that most people in Israel actually got a placebo.
Really?
Maybe not most. You know what? Half.
That's right. These are double-blind trials. That's what Dr. Carrie Made said to me in her interview.
Yes, they have to. No, for sure there is a control group, but I'm saying a lot. Look, a police
force. Some people are getting the placebo is what she's saying. So we don't know who's getting the placebo and who's not getting
it. Many people at this stage, many people are getting placebos. Why is that? You have the police force and you have the medical staff. They must get a placebo because they still need to be in service.
The enforcers.
And the public need to see that those who are in service actually got the shots and they're okay. So it gives you some security or gives you some trust in the public eyes about these shots, yeah? So this is one thing. Second thing, they don't want to kill too many people now. They want to make people addicted or junkies of these new drugs. They want to show the world as if, yeah? I mean, it's all a plan being rolled out, but they want to show the world that the way forward is to take these shots and open the economy. I mean, if you want your life back, you have to take this shot. See, it's working in Israel. It's working maybe in the States. It's working. Let's all do it. This is where they're heading.
Definitely...
So they cannot, hang on. They cannot give too many poisons now. They have to enroll it like slowly, then better slower, slowly than faster. Mm-hmm. And I believe that if I take in consideration the numbers that they published, I mean, the whether it's the Rockefellers, the Gates, and again, this, I call them just Nazis, sorry. Well, not sorry, but this is what they are, or at least following the Nazi agenda. Mm-hmm. According to them, the exercise of this COVID-19, which is what it is supposed to end in 2025. And then a new pandemic, according to their plans, a new pandemic will arise, all right, till 2028. So my guess is that in these next 3-4 years, yes, more people will take these shots. Some of them will die, but they basically, they want to show that the way forward is through this and open the economy. And then they can kill people easily with radiation, with chemicals, with nano, with there's so many ways to do it once people accept to inject themselves with shit. So then it will be much easier to get rid of many people, concentrate them in cities with 5G for whatever excuses they will come up with. And then basically fulfilling the 17 goals of Agenda 21, which 13 out of them is talking about vaccinating the population of the world.
You know, that's sort of the plan. That's the plan that they envision, right? And it's kind of dismal to actually look at it. But in a sense, we have to look at what they are thinking about and what they are planning if we have any interest in stopping it. And, you know, and there are people around the world, as you know, who have now been very activated, who are very aware of what's going on, and who are trying to do their best to stop it from different angles, right? Diplomacy, speaking directly to superiors from inside the establishment, or people like Rhino Fulmich, who's running those lawsuits, etc. And different doctors and scientists coming together, running tribunals, and so forth and so on. And it seems like one large portion of this would have to be the police and the military mechanisms, you know, factions in every country. If they can be woken up, if they begin to understand what this is really intending for them, because I suspect that a lot of them imagine that they're sort of on the inside, that they're being protected. And maybe some of them are indeed being protected. They would get the placebo. But do you think everybody in the military, for instance, is going to be protected from this scenario?
No, not at all. I mean, again, slowly but surely, they will get rid also. It really depends what they want to do with a country. I mean, for example, in Israel, already there's some evidences of foreign lesions here in Israel, okay? Whether they are Americans, whether they are Russians, whether they are Chinese, I would say some of each, but it has not been proven, but there's some evidences that we have some foreign forces here in Israel.
Are they ready, sort of camouflaged among the civilian population? Because that's the case in the US.
Among the police force and the army.
I see.
Yeah, like, you look, it's no surprise. I don't want to go
there.
It's the
global police. Yeah, well, you know, over here in September, I think, September 2015, I think it was, Loretta Lynch, Attorney General at the time, and Obama announced that, you know, the U.S. police would be welcoming the U.N. global police into cities.
Yeah, sure. I mean, again, all these presidents and prime ministers and all these puppets, basically, or highly paid clerks, they are there just to announce the next step or stage of the agenda.
Yeah, but the agenda is rolling out like clockwork, is what you're saying, and you're right. I mean, a lot of us are seeing that the smart cities have been rolled out, the resilient cities, the sanctuary cities. ICLAI has been operative. You know, Rosa Corrie has brought that information to us. Has been operative in every city and every county around the country in the U.S. over here, and it's the same with the councils in Britain. So, what we think our national sovereignty doesn't seem to exist anymore. We seem to already be in that one world government scenario.
It's even more than that, Ramona. I mean, it's not just national sovereignty, it's much more than that. There's a war on our mind.
Oh, absolutely.
And once you conquer the mind, it's so easy to just take everything else.
I know, and this is why, you know, I laid all at the door of media, you know, because media has been able to do that. I'm sorry, you were saying something about the bar.
Yeah, but media is just a tool. Look, if you now go and pay the media more than what these globalists say in the media, they will tell your story, theoretically, right? I mean, by that principle.
They can be easily bought, you mean.
Yeah, basically, yes. You just, I mean, the agenda is being rolled out is a satanic agenda. It's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not, yeah. A matter of, you know, yeah, maybe we can stop it, maybe not. We're not talking fluoridating the water. We're talking everything. We're talking all the cards on the table, almost.
That's,
you know,
right.
We're talking. Yeah. We're talking the full Monty. We're talking everything. Mm-hmm. Taking your children, taking your property, taking your body,
yeah.
Taking your mind, and making sure that you don't
sources.
Even know what you've lost, you know?
Yeah.
Like that.
Step by
look,
step.
Most people are under Stockholm syndrome at the
yeah.
moment because they're after one, two, or three quarantine phases and more to come after they've been trained like dogs to put masks on their face, after they've been convinced to inject this poison or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter now where it is, in Israel or other place, it doesn't matter. After that, people will, you know, now I see in Israel, the government has basically, you know, has loosened its grip a bit on the people.
Mm-hmm.
People are happy. Suddenly you see, oh, and they're all afraid when again we will have a quarantine. But they got used to being in a quarantine. They got used to,
you know,
buy stuff on the internet.
Yeah,
they got
the
used
to. This
thing
that just blows my mind. Why are
yes.
people doing that? Why aren't people sort of rising up en masse and sort of writing to these guys and saying, knock it off, you know? There is no pandemic. It sort of seems like a huge resistance needs to be organized by the educated people. Anybody who can write a letter can do this. You just write to whoever is imposing these edicts and point out to them that, you know, they are actually running up right up against laws against discrimination, laws against basic human rights, basic civil rights. That would be the case in the US. And I would presume that you have laws of similar kinds protecting you all in Israel as well.
Not really, because, well, not so much anymore. In Israel, we don't have a constitution. We have like fundamental laws, which are a ground for constitution, but it's not there yet. And these laws can be overcome in case of a pandemic, let's say.
That's
so
the
now,
language in all of the health agreements, by the way, for every country, and that needs to be challenged at the very root.
Yes,
you know.
Yes. Something important, you see, all the legal work is being done around the world. This lawsuit, and also some in Israel, filed something to the High Court in Israel, and another lawsuit has been filed in the Court of Hague against the government
That's
of
right.
Israel and the WHO for breaking human rights laws, etc., etc. Still, all this can be just something to prolong it, to stall it, to steal time and energy from the people, let them wait and hope for a change through the court system. In a way,
that's
like
my point.
Like the Q movement, the QAnon movement, has been put there beforehand in order to divert the attention of those waking up to think that QAnon will save them or Trump.
I know, sit
will
back
save
and eat
them.
Your popcorn, right?
Yes. And, you know, sit back and enjoy or watch the show. All these slogans and phrases came out in 2020 from the QAnon movement.
Yeah.
Now, without even going into the depth of it, of Pizzagate and the child trafficking, because there's a lot of truth in it, of course. Still, most of the people are not involved in this. They want QAnon to save them. They want Trump to save them. And again, it caused them a lot of waste of energy, waste of time, waste of revolution power. Now, what you are saying, also you mentioned before the army, that we need the army and the police, and I don't think so. I think it's about us, each individual and family and neighborhood, community, and then a town or a village and a town and a city. It has to start from each individual, because the attack is personal and the attack is also on the group.
Oh, I fully agree. It has to start with the individual.
Yes, there's no other way here, because it's not a political fight. This is self-defense. We are defending our life, our natural born rights.
That's
like
right.
Slaves who are trying to get loose from the chains that hold them. This is where we are. We are slaves, and those of us who wake up, we wake up to the idea that we have been slaves for a long time, for whatever reason and by whatever, perpetrators, and it's time to break loose. This is
right.
What we need to go to, and this is really, really, it ain't easy. I mean, I'm in this 12 years.
No, it's not.
You're in this such and such years. David Icke, 30 years. You know, each one has, he can meet it on another point of the road. But what we need to realize that we need to break loose. We need to break free from it. And it has to start with the one, with me. What I need, what I want. Who am I? Who am I? Am I a slave? Am I a free man? Am I a man? Am I a citizen? Am I a human? What does it mean, man, human, citizen, resident, where it all comes from? Who am I in all these vocabulary bullshit that have been shoved down my throat, you know, all this terminology. And now they want to take it and change it through communitarianism. I don't know if you heard this word.
Absolutely, I've been following.
And this is really changing the whole concept of how we think about ourselves, about life, about God, about resources.
It's
everything.
Communism, basically, is what it is, isn't it, Shai? I mean,
it's more than communism. It's more than communism, because the brainwash techniques now and the technology to apply the brainwash has gone like really wild.
It's definitely a technocratic kind of scenario at this point in time. The tools they have that they are using, and that they have no qualms about using, you know, it's not like there's any ethics or morality governing anything over here. They want
it's exactly the opposite. Everything that is moral, we're talking about the opposite. Everything that has some God and faith and humility and compassion in it, we're talking about the opposite. This is the opposite force resisting God, love, grace, humanity, care, all right?
And through communitarianism, they are fooling or deceiving people into thinking that they all need to, you know, band together, work as a group, and kind of reject the individual, reject independence, reject independent thinking, reject individualistic kind of thinking or action of any kind whatsoever. And this, by the way, connects to this whole vaccine passport scenario, where they're trying to get people all riled up to turn against those who refuse the vaccine, you know, want to stand outside and question this shot.
Yes. Now, look, I can tell you now that in Israel, for example, 2 weeks ago, when I did the interview with David Icke and also with Robert Scott Bell from the States, we were talking about also about the digital handcuffs, the people coming from abroad to Israel.
Quarantine.
If they don't want to stay in a hotel in a quarantine for a couple of weeks, they can go home with the digital handcuffs, like on their leg
that's
or hand.
That's acquiescence to imprisonment, you know, that sort of consenting.
Like you do to pedophiles, you know, when people, Israel is coming from abroad to the airport, they were quite happy to get these handcuffs because they don't have to go to a hotel. I mean, they were given two choices. So instead of pushing aside both choices and say, hey,
exactly,
I'm not going anywhere, I'm not putting this on me,
yeah,
they've chosen the easy choice. And this is a good example to show the lie. Because here in this world, we are here to choose. And they give you the bad choices that you have to choose from them. And most people don't think with their own brain. And they're using whatever the collective lowest way of thought available through the MSM. And they said, well, I don't want to go to a hotel. I want to go home, so I'll take this. That's it. Easy. And you are right. I mean, they are just... The acquiescence is, it's just unbelievable that people
you
are.
See, that's
agreeing.
Just the thing. They would have to actually say, no, I don't want to go to a hotel. And yes, this is an outrageous abrogation of my human rights. I'm most certainly not getting handcuffed to a digital handcuff. You know, somebody's got to make a stand and sort of plant their feet firmly on the ground and say, no, absolutely not.
So now, Mora, they've stopped with the digital handcuffs. You still have to be quarantined in a hotel or something like
How
that.
How did they stop? Do you know what might have brought them to stop?
Just the government has taken, look, they're doing pilots. Like, for example,
beta testing different things, trying to see how people are reacting. Ah, okay.
Yes, exactly. For example, a few months ago, they've closed Eilat, you know, the southern city of Israel, just on the Red Sea, Eilat,
okay,
a very famous touristic place in Israel. They've closed it because there's only one road leading to Eilat. They put a barricade, you know, police and army. No one could enter, no one could leave unless they took the PCR test, unless they showed that they've taken the test, etc., etc. This went on for maybe a month, maybe a couple of months. Now, the same time they've done the same to a northern village, a Druze village in the north of Israel. So both corners of Israel were cut and a pilot or tests were done there on the population to see how they react, to see how the population of these places react and how the population of Israel react. So after that, now Eilat is open. I was there a few days ago, you know.
Oh, okay.
There's no, so it's gone. They just checked it.
They did it for a period of time.
I don't know why. I don't know. Luckily, I'm not in their brain because I don't want to be sick like them. Right. But the important thing to know here is that they do run these tests. And this is like behavioral science.
I was going to say, this is it's very much behavioral psychology. It's kind of terrorizing people, isn't it? It's going to terrorize people.
Look, Israel has been hiring... like a nasty piece of work, a guy for millions and millions of our money. And he also give consultancy to Bill Gates companies. He's an Israeli. And he seems like he really hates people because when he was young, he got burnt on his face. And he seems like he has a lot of anger. And he has given, is actually giving advices and consultancy to Israel, how to control the masses, how to reduce the pressure on the health system. For example, I'll just give an example. Mm-hmm. He gave on a lecture two ways to reduce the pressure on the health system. He said, for example, if a guy in his house, he had a heart attack, you can turn the traffic lights for the ambulance, turn them red, and make the ambulance come 15 minutes later to this guy. So then the health system does not have to deal with him. Understand? So basically
because
saying...
Because he might die in the meantime.
Exactly.
Oh my
exactly.
God.
And another
totally
thing he said,
thing.
If we want... Yeah, so this is the type of guy that is...
Who is this guy, by the way?
Of money.
We're not saying his name.
No need. Another thing he said, if we want to reduce again the pressure from the health system, we can sell cigarettes to kids at a younger age. That's the guy who's giving consultancy
at a
to
younger
Bill Gates.
Age.
Yes, make them.
So this is a sort of a hardcore depopulationist, the eugenicist himself.
And yes, that... you can say so. And also in the last few weeks, the minister of agriculture has come out and said that Israel has to slow down its population growth. And now in the documents of the education ministry, which is now combined really deeply with the health office, obviously, now they come again, they put it in their books and documents that we need to slow down the population growth. This is Agenda 21 in your face, and people are still living in La La Land thinking they're going to get their life back. So what Shai Danon is saying, no one is going to give you back your life, not a lawyer, not a policeman, not a politician, not a news anchor. Only you can take your life back.
And you actually can. You can actually speak out.
Well, yes.
Yeah, to what extent, you see, what this is all heading toward is absolute takeover of everybody's freedoms, right? So as you and I both know, Shai, well, I've been deplatformed on YouTube. I don't know what kind of losses you've suffered, but I think you mentioned some, right, on YouTube as well. We're being deplatformed, we're being censored. We're already being told we don't have freedom of speech. We can't put the truth out about COVID-19, about the vaccines. We can't have interviews with doctors on our channels, blah, blah, blah. All my interviews with doctors were taken down. So that's already, you know, encroachment on freedom of speech. So the intention appears to be with all of this extreme totalitarianism that ultimate takeover of freedom of speech is intended on their part. So what is the response to that? What is the counter to that? Should we just take hold of our freedoms right now and speak as loudly and clearly as we can, you know, as many of us believe? Those who have freedom of speech right now don't think they have freedom of speech. They are just sort of kowtowing, going along, wearing the mask, being silent, not questioning, not resisting. But this is the time period when actually we do still have our freedoms. We can still speak en masse.
True. Yes, I agree. And the time to speak up and stand up and say no is right now, because soon we will have a generation of robots.
That's great.
And they will not speak up and they will not stand up, and we will be already too tired or whatever. I don't know. But look, the kids who are growing now these days, they're in a mess, and we need to protect them. Seriously, we need to protect them from these criminals.
Correct. Let's talk about the children for a bit, because that's a huge subject. And currently, as we know, the doctors tell us within 1 to 5 years, they envision anybody who takes this shot is going to have organ failure and die, you know, or have a chronic illness for life where the body is attacking itself. You're going to have autoimmune diseases. The adults are going to be severely debilitated. The children, can you imagine what's going to happen to the children? Can they take in this amount of toxins, gene-modifying toxins, into their body and survive? Are they going to survive? Are they going to be neurodamaged and neuroinflamed for life, like Dr. Judy Mikovits says? You know, there's neuroinflammation. She talks about seizures, collapsing brain-wise, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, all of these other diseases brought prematurely to the population. So are we? So as you say, it's going to, and people are also being nanobotized to become robots. And then if you keep getting the jab, you're literally turning into a cyborg, because you are lending yourself to the hive net, the brain net, and the body net, the internet of bodies. You know, you're turning your human system into a silicon-based life form, which is what they envision. That's what these transhumanists envision. That's what they are calling humanity 2.0. So that indeed is going to be robotizing. So you're going to be having disease-stricken people, highly debilitated people, children who have no idea what's going on, are becoming compliant and robotized. People who are becoming robotized, that's like, it's like a horror story. It's like dystopia on steroids, you know? So you know what I meant earlier when I mentioned the police and the military? What I meant was, aren't they waking up? Aren't the police waking up? Aren't the military waking up?
No.
Don't they see this that we're talking about?
No,
they think about themselves, their own lives, their own families. They have children, right?
Look, some are waking up, but the majority is not waking up. I mean, I'm talking from the police force and the army, because they are the most brainwashed people. Doesn't matter which country they are from, because they have been in the highly advanced brainwashing system. You know, the army and the police force.
It's like the doctors, right, who go to medical school and get completely brainwashed.
For example, and here it's even more because suddenly, I mean, I really don't understand the policemen, because now they are out giving fines for masks. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. They have not joined the forces to do that, obviously. But still, they need to bring food to the table. They need to pay rent or mortgage or whatever. So they have obviously their pressures. And this is where they, at least in Israel, the Israeli government is pushing people to the limit with work, with making a living, you know, and this is where people really break down and take the jabs, take the shots, because they say, okay, I have to eat, I have to pay this and that.
Yeah.
They don't get it that if they don't stop it now, in 3 months or 6 months or 12 months, it will get much worse. And in 24 months, much worse. You know, you have to stop it now. And I'm answering that. I'm answering that regarding your question with the children. Mm-hmm. If we don't stop it now, there will come a time that we cannot go back, because there won't be enough people to take us back or to a new back. And I'm not talking about the globalists' bullshit build back better slogans. I'm talking about sanity. I'm talking about real sanity. And we still need us, the good people, those who work with agriculture and with organic seeds, and those who work with soil, and those who work with low tech, not high tech, low tech, and building stuff, machinery, wooden stuff. We need to go back to this simple way of life. We don't need all this high tech. We don't need AI. The globalists need that. We don't need that. We need to sit outside and eat grapes from the vine. We need to sit outside and make a fire and put potatoes in it and look at the stars. That's what we need to do. We don't need to sit in front of a screen and do these interviews, but we do it because we want to save ourselves, the children, and the world, because we see what's wrong in it. And you know, there's a saying, step away from evil and do good. Now, some people, they do good, but they don't know how to step away from evil. Some people step away from evil, but they don't necessarily do good. But this phrase is this and that together, is both wings of a bird, and you need both of them. Otherwise, you will go in circles. What does it mean? In order to do good, you need to know what bad is, what evil is. You need to identify it. You need to step away from it. You need to warn others about it, not to fall in its traps. And then, and only then, well, not only, but mostly, then you realize what good is and you choose your way more accurately. And then you can really affect in a good way on yourself and others. So maybe with this, I can say that for the children of the world, which is, I think, the most important task we have, is to come out from this spell, because we are under a spell, to come out from this deep hypnosis we've been put under, wake up, break all this, break the spell, really, and go back to who we really are and teach the children exactly that. We have no time to spend. It's like the 90 minutes of a football match. We are after it. We are way after it. We need to stop everything now. Stop basically complying with the orders and the regulations and the whatever they bring on us, and to just be us. I mean,
that's in powerful, a way,
we need to let go of who we think we are and be who we are, you know, because we are under a spell, not just for 1 year, just in the last year.
Yeah,
it's on steroids, but
yeah, it's
really we are under a spell for decades now, if not longer.
Yeah,
all this petit bourgeois lifestyle, all this shopping in AliExpress, all these gadgets and big flat screens, and this is all bullshit. It means nothing. It does nothing to you. It's superficial. You cannot grow from having stuff, but you can grow from connecting to nature and just be who you were meant to be. And this is not through medical dictatorship, not through forced whatever, and definitely not through lies or forced lies being pushed down your throat, which is what we are experiencing the last, 1 year for sure, but even more so. So I just hope for all of us, for humanity, to really wake up from this bad, bad nightmare we are in, and to turn it into a sweet dream, because this is our power, and we need to use it. We need to, you know, say this is our life. You cannot control my life. Never.
That's right.
Never again.
Have to step
and we need
forward.
To kick them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we need to kick this badass forever from our life.
I mean, and people need to realize, as you said, you know, you step away from evil and do good, you know, do both at the same time. You've got to recognize what evil is. And people do not realize or recognize, perhaps some are waking up now, that what these governments are doing to us is indeed evil. These are satanic kind of methodologies they're using against the people. They're satanic methodologies of repression and suppression and subjugation and kind of decimation of the human spirit. It's like they're trying to crush the human spirit. And when people wake up to that, and especially people with children and grandchildren, I think can see it much clearer and much better. Need to move to the next step where you say no. You say no very firmly. You deny consent. You stop complying. And, you know, when I speak to people like you, Shai, or Peggy Hall, or other people who are of similar mindset, we are of the same mindset. You know, you have to say no. And you have to step away. I also love what you said about, you know, going away from Wi-Fi, high-tech, Zoom screens, and back to nature, because that's what I'm all about as well. And all of us need to. But it seems like, and this is when I talk to other kinds of people who are scientists, who have a transhumanist interest, they think a little transhumanism is not a bad thing. A little BCI AI is not a bad thing. So we've talked about how the world is kind of splitting into two scenarios here. There are people who want to go into the high-tech, digitally enslaving transhumanist world. And there are others like us who want to stand apart and go back to the earth and the bonfire and the stars and nature and, you know, painting sunsets again. So I don't know. Perhaps people need to make a choice. But I love that you are speaking your mind, speaking out, and that you are giving that great advice to everybody. And I was going to ask you what your last words might be as we close the show for today. But those were powerful words that you just said, actually. So anything else you want to
say? I can. Yeah, what I said before, I think it was enough. It felt like for me, it felt enough.
Yeah, it is powerful. It is indeed the thing to do. People need to make a choice, and people need to think deeply about what's going on and stand in their own power, you know, and make the right choice for themselves and for their children, our children, right? So thank you, Shai. This has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you this afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hope we'll do it again.
Thank you very much, Ramona. All the best. Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye. God bless.